beginning in chapter 2, 1 John, verse 1, John says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if," this word is translated other places, when, "and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." He begins here with this word, my little children, and he uses this address 9 times in this epistle, little children. That's what Christ, how he addressed his disciples. It didn't matter what their age was. It didn't matter how new they were in the faith or how long they had been in the faith. He addressed them as little children. It reminds us, reminds the believer that as long as we're in this flesh, we're absolutely dependent upon our Father. And we come to our Father. We have access to Him. We have liberty to come to Him. I was thinking about Joshua. He's the youngest one here. I was thinking about Joshua coming to Art and being able to just come to him and feel like he's going to be received by him because it's his Father. He can come to him. That's how our relationship is as believers with the Father. And the Lord said, "Verily, verily," he said, "except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Little children, totally dependent, absolutely dependent. Now, John says here, "These things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Now, these things he's writing. Let's go back to the beginning. Go back to John, 1 John 1:1. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word," capital W, "the Word of life, Christ Jesus. For the life was manifested," the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. "The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life." He's talking about a person, isn't he? He's talking about Christ. He's the eternal life, the life, which was with the Father from the beginning, from before the world began, and was manifested unto us. "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us," or have the same fellowship that we have. Now he's going to tell us what that is. "And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Little children is what he's saying. I'm a little child, and I have fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. I can come to Him. That's oneness. The Lord said in John 17, "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us." This is the fellowship we're talking about. Unity. Oneness. And with oneness comes joy, and it comes freedom, and it comes liberty. Now watch this. Verse 4. "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." What is this joy that he's talking about? He's talking about this oneness, this unity. You can turn there if you'd like, Ephesians 3:17. Let me read this to you. Ephesians 3:17. Paul said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ dwell in your hearts, in you, by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Look at verse 19. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." This is that fullness. We're talking about Christ being formed in a person. So John's given two reasons here that he's writing this. He said, I'm writing this that you sin not, and I'm writing this that your joy may be full. Now, what kind of message, what kind of word is it that's going to create a fullness of joy in a sinner and also constrain the sinner not to sin, not to walk on in a life of sin and rebellion against God? What's going to do that? What message is going to do that? There's only one message that'll do that. It's the message of God's free and sovereign grace, of His electing grace, of His saving grace, of His forgiving grace, that grace that will not turn away one of His children, that will not turn away from them. Grace didn't cause Him to choose anybody. Grace was free, it was unmerited. Nothing in us caused Him to choose us, and nothing in Him would cause Him to turn away from His people. Now watch verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, of Christ. This is the message. And we declare it unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Every sinner who believes on Christ, every sinner who comes to God, shall have God to do for us what is right, what is faithful, what is just. This is to have the light of life, to know that the God of the whole earth, our God, who is our Father, is going to do that which is right for us, that which is faithful to us, because in Him is no darkness at all. There's no unrighteousness in Him. There's no unfaithfulness in Him. There's nothing in Him that's unjust. There's nothing in Him that's unmerciful. There's no darkness in Him. He is life. This is what Christ said. He that followeth me, he that forsakes everything and comes to me, shall not walk in darkness. Why? But he shall have the light of life. He's going to have it. I'm going to see to it. He has the light of life. Verse 6. Now if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now we're talking about coming to God. We're talking about coming to Christ by faith. Now anybody that says he has Christ, has fellowship with him, that Christ is in him and he in Christ, that he believes on Christ, and yet walks in darkness, he's afraid to come to Christ. He's afraid to own what he is before God. He's afraid to lay open his heart before God and bring forth all the sins that he is and confess them before God. And he hides back from the light. He won't come out into the light. He says he knows him, and before men he may look like he knows him, but between him and God, he won't come out into the light. He won't walk into Christ and come to Christ and confess to God. This is a personal thing. This is between a sinner and between God. That person is yet in darkness. He's afraid of God. He's afraid of Christ. He doesn't know the faithfulness and justice of God to forgive and to give forgiveness. He doesn't know anything about it. He hasn't tasted that. He doesn't have anything about that. Let me show you John 3:20. John 3:20. He says, John said right here, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Watch what the Lord said. This is where we're coming to now. John 3:20. John 3:20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be discovered, lest they should be out in the open and out in the light. A man thinks he can hide these things from God. that God doesn't know them. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. He comes to Christ, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now look back at 1 John 1:7. Now he said there, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, if we come to the light, to Christ, Christ, as Christ is the light, he is the light. If we come to him, we have fellowship one with another. We will have, this is a promise, we will have fellowship with God. That's what John just said. Our fellowship is with the Father. We'll have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And look, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's His blood through the Spirit that purges the conscience. John's sitting here, he's saying, I'm declaring these words to you that your joy might be full, that you might be filled with this word of life, filled with this light of life, have the light of Christ, that you might come to Him and know that you can come to Him. And He says to us here now, when this word's going forth, that light's going to, through the blood of Christ, He purges the conscience. He makes us honest. He washes us inwardly. And He makes us to be able to see what we are, and to see who He is. And He draws us to Him. And when we come to Him, we behold in Him, we've been cleansed from all sin. And He daily, continually, does this same work of grace and continues to cleanse us by His blood. And by this light, which is God's fellowship with us, it's His communion in us, whereby He abides in us and He keeps us abiding in Him. By this fellowship, by His continual faithfulness to forgive us, to keep us, He keeps us walking before Him in the light. Listen to, I want you to turn to these. Psalm 56:13. Psalm 56:13. This is how the psalmist put it. Psalm 56:13. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? That's exactly what he continues to do. Psalm 89, look at verse 15. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. This is what John said. I'm telling you this that your joy may be full. The Lord said, I'm giving you these words that my joy might be in you. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now look back. Look back now. First John 1, and look at verse. If we walk in the light, you come to the light, you come to Christ, as evil and as wretched as you may be, come to Christ, and you'll find fellowship with the Father, and you'll find that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now look at verse 8. Now, if we hear that and we say, well, I don't have any sin. I don't have any sin to be cleansed of. John says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth's not in us. Look down at verse 10. If we say that we've not sinned, we make God a liar. And His word's not in us. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to God. And we're calling God a liar. Because He said that's all we are in ourselves is sin. Any sinner who won't come to Christ, who won't come to the light because he thinks he has no sin, is deceiving himself. He's deceived by the sinfulness, by the darkness of his own heart. And the truth's not in him. Now you listen to me. Anybody here that has not come to Christ, Christ by faith. Listen, the thing that's keeping you from Christ is this. You will not take sides with God against yourself. That's what's keeping you from God. It's the same as saying, I don't have any sin. It's the same as saying, I'm righteous. It's the same as saying, what do I have? What need do I have of God? That's what's keeping a man from Christ. And any man who claims to be a believer and imagines he's not sinned, that he doesn't have any sin today or this hour or while we've been sitting here listening to this word, that man's deceived and the truth's not in him. He doesn't have the word of God in him either. He's a liar. As believers, by God's grace, through faith in Christ, we know this. We've been justified by Christ. We know that we've been freed from the guilt of sin. We've been freed from the condemnation of sin. We've been freed from the dominion of sin reigning in us. It's not having dominion over us anymore in our body. We've been freed from the wrath of God towards sin. Before God in Christ, before God, the all-knowing God in Christ, we have no sin. He said, I will remember your sin no more. I will not remember it anymore because Christ has put away the sin of his people. But because of his light, because we do have his light shining in our hearts, we know that in our flesh dwells nothing good. Absolutely nothing. Our flesh is what it's been, and it's what it will be. And it's sin. And sin, therefore, is mixed with everything we do. I'm sinning right now. Sin's mixed with everything that we do. We have a need, a constant need. Just like little children have the continual need of their father. We have the continual need of being cleansed from our sins every hour, every day. Now you remember this. John's writing this that our joy might be full. And he's writing this that we sin not. This is the joy and constraint of the believer right here. This is it. This is what drew us to Christ in the first hour, and this is what keeps us coming to Christ right here. This is the joy and constraint of the believer. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, don't tell them to me. I can't help you. Don't go to a priest and tell him. He can't help you. Don't go and try to pay for forgiveness. Nobody can give this to you but God Almighty. He's the only one, and he does it in his Son. And this is what he says. God is faithful to forgive and to cleanse. Faithful to Christ for the sake of Christ. Faithful to the one into whose heart he speaks and draws him to himself, saying, I will forgive thee. I have and I shall. You have complete forgiveness. He's faithful to his word. He's just to do it. He's just to do it because the blood of Christ has cleansed everyone that Christ died for. It's cleansed them. And he not only is faithful and just, he does it. He forgives and cleanses the believer of all unrighteousness. Now this is the peace. This is the joy right here. You ever been in a strange place where you didn't know anybody? And there's just nobody that you could come to and just that knew you and that you know, so that you just are comfortable with them and just able to come to them. You ever been in a place where that's the case? Well, the joy and the constraint of a believer is this. We have fellowship with God. We are able to come to Him and to be honest with Him and to pour out our hearts to Him and to not hold anything back and to tell Him of all the sins that we know of, and to confess to Him, not only that, Lord, but there's sins we don't even know about. We don't even realize. We're taking sides with God against ourselves and coming and asking Him, Lord, forgive me. If you don't forgive me, I'll have no forgiveness. If you don't create in me a clean heart, I will not be cleansed. If you don't cleanse me, I won't be clean. But it's joy. I just wish I could express it. I wish I could get it into somebody's heart just what a joy it is to have that burden of trying to hide in the darkness and to hide from God, to be able to step into His light and say, Lord, here I am. And to know He's faithful and just to forgive you. Now, how can He do that for the believer? Now, here's where we started. Verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if, when any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the satisfaction for our sins, the complete and total atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. For His people that He died for, and this whole world, He's the advocate for them. Are you one of those? Are you one He died for? Let me tell you what He does. An advocate is somebody who pleads for another before the judge. Now, try to get this picture. This is a judge, a law. We're talking about law here. We're talking about a court. An advocate. He's the defendant of the guilty party. Now you think about a lawyer who represents his client before the judge, and he says, I'm not only going to defend him, he's guilty, but I'm going to pay all the sentence. I'm going to pay the whole debt of justice that he owes. Not only for this crime of the past, but for the crimes that he's engaged in right now and for the crimes that he's going to commit in the future. This lawyer said, I'm going to pay for every one of them. And so he does the time. He pays the sentence. He satisfies justice completely. And then this man does something else, commits another crime. And he's brought before the judge. And the advocate stands between him and the judge, between the guilty one and the judge. And he says, for my sake, who has completely and totally paid this man's debt, I paid the debt that he's just now committed. And he says, for my sake, who paid it, and for the sake of the justice of this court, don't put this to his charge. Don't lay this to his charge. That's what Christ has done. I want you to see this. Psalm 69. Listen to this statement. Forgiveness for one of Christ's redeemed, for somebody that He is the advocate for, it's not only an act of mercy from God, it's an act of justice. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Now look at Psalm 69. Christ, God is faithful and He's just. He's faithful and He's just. Because Christ has honored, He's magnified the law of God for those He represented on the cross. Jew and Gentile all over the world. He's the advocate for them. And by His presence with the Father in glory. Now look at this. Psalm 69:5. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. Now the Lord said, if anybody confess their sins, He's faithful and just to forgive them their sin. This is Christ speaking. This is Christ speaking. He owned the sins of His people to be His own. And He confessed them before the Father. Now listen, in confessing the sin of His people to be His own, Christ justified the sentence of the law. He justified what the law says against himself in the place of those for whom he died. That's what confession of sin does. It justifies the law as being right in what it says. And then in presenting himself to pay the wages of sin, to pay the penalty that his people owed, he vindicated the sanction of the law and the perfection of the law. He vindicated the fact the law's got to be satisfied. It deserves to be satisfied. It's right and holy and just. And then thirdly, in paying the wages of sin, he satisfied the law. He's the propitiation for his people. So Christ pleads two things. Here's what he pleads. He pleads for his own sake, and he pleads for the sake of God's own glory, his own righteousness. Look at verse 6. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts. And that word wait means believe. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed. Here's why. For my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded. Here's why. For my sake, O God of Israel. And here's the second reason. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. I have. Shame hath covered my face. So, this advocate stands before the Father, and his very presence is the pleading. His very presence with the Father is all that has to be said. But what his presence says is, for my sake, who has borne the reproach, who has satisfied justice, who has confessed the sins of these people before thee, for my sake and for your sake, because you're just God and a holy God and your law's righteous, lay not this charge to their account. This is how Augustus Toplady put it. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, then again at mine. And so God is faithful and just to forgive all that come to him, confessing to him what we are. Confessing to taking sides with God and saying, God, you're just and I'm unjust. You're holy and I'm unholy. You're right and I'm wrong. And he's just and faithful to cleanse us. And this is the cleansing. This is the cleansing that comes into the heart. This is the light that comes into the heart. This is the light of life that comes into the heart. He says, take away the filthy garments from him and put on a change of raiment on him. Put him in the robe of my righteousness. And we say, thus saith the Lord thy God, the God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I've taken out of thy hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury, and thou shalt no more drink it again. I've satisfied my fury. Fury is not in me towards you. This is the light of life. This is what you're going to find if you just come to Christ and believe on him. And this is what it does. Lamentations 3:58 says this is the answer. This is what the people cry out to him. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. That's being filled with the joy that he's talking about. And here's the second thing it does. It causes you to walk after the commandments of God. It causes you to desire to go and sin no more. And it manifests itself by taking away the finger and the oppression that we have by nature towards one another. And it causes us to love one another for this reason. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And so these twofold things are accomplished when this word of life comes into our heart. The joy of our hearts is filled up with this forgiveness of Christ. And it constrains us, brethren, to sin no more. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. You put law on a man, You put rules and regulations on a man. You put a yoke on a man that he cannot bear, that he cannot possibly. There is absolutely no way he can satisfy it. And all it does is cause him to want to buck and cast off that yoke and be freed from those chains. It'll cause him to transgress more and more. But you declare this work having been done by Christ Jesus, and declare now, even as we go through this life and we're just stumbling and falling and weak and helpless, foolish sinners, even now that we believe in, this is the message that God keeps using to fill His children with joy, to fill up our hearts with joy, and to keep drawing us to Him to say, Lord, oh, forgive me, the sinner. I want so much. I want now. I see in His forgiveness. I see something of the holiness and the justice and the righteousness of the law of God. Not just the letter of it, of the God of the law. And it makes me want to follow Him. Makes me want to sin no more against Him. I pray that's what will happen with this message. Amen.